evening and welcome to Urban Health Beat, the show that feeds your mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Marilyn Harris Davis, and I am joined once again by Dr. Gary Jennings, President and CEO of QOL Pain Management. Welcome, Dr. Jennings.
Hey, thanks, Marilyn.
Yeah. Okay, Marilyn, you just spilled all of your really healthy water all over yourself, but that's okay. And today, actually, we have a very, very, very special show. This is one of my favorite guests. He is no stranger to Urban Health Beat. And actually, this topic is one that is always, always, always appropriate for this show because we do feed your mind, body, and spirit. And we also talk about complementary health care as well as alternative medical protocols. I'm joined this week by Doctor, and I'm calling you doctor, okay? I'm calling you doctor because as far as I'm concerned, you are a doctor.
you know my hang-up, though. That's really cool, so that's good. That
right.
Right on.
David Foreman. David Foreman is known as the herbal, worldwide actually, as the herbal pharmacist. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Foreman.
All right, I'll let you get away with it.
Okay, all right, how about we say David?
Yeah, that's fine. You know, it's funny, though, because, you know, you started having me as a guest, I don't know, over a year ago, I guess, and it's been periodically, but we've developed a friendship over this time.
We really have.
Yeah, it's really cool, you know, and I count that as another huge blessing of what I get to do because I get to meet some really cool people.
Absolutely.
And actually, as you know, we're planning on literally meeting in person.
Oh, we are. Absolutely. Next month,
Then I sent you a text just the other day.
I know, right? I'm holding you
to
it this time.
I don't do that to everybody either.
I am holding you to it this time.
All right, cool.
Today... Okay, Dr. Herbal Pharmacist, David Foreman. Actually,
there you go.
You have, and every time we speak, you kind of have a certain, how do we call it, theory. You have something specific that we start out with, you know, and then, of course, the show takes on a whole new life of its own because you're so brilliant, and, you know, obviously it's a call-in talk show, and I want people to have the benefit of your knowledge. But one particular thing that you're passionate about this week is natural remedies to arthritis. And also ways to predict arthritis?
Yeah, there's, this is kind of, you know, I think sometimes people, they hear arthritis and there's so many people, you know, like 50-some million people have, some form of arthritis.
Yes.
And if you have it, you know it and you're miserable. And, but the thing that, you know, I've learned over my years of just trying to help people out is that, just like with any disease, just because you're told you have it doesn't mean you have to live with it necessarily the rest of your life. There are things that we can do to either halt the progression. That's usually that's my worst case scenario is like if I can at least get it stopped, but you're not going to get any more miserable than you are right now. That's a good thing.
Let me just say this, and I'm not sure many of our callers know this, and honestly, I got some of this information from the web and from your website, that arthritis is a leading cause of disability in the United States. That's pretty shocking.
Yeah, I got to say, I was even shocked on that one, and I've done some speaking on the topic in the past, and some writing, and every now and then I'll come across something, you know, wild and crazy, and you know, that one blows me away. You know, I would have thought it'd been like backaches or, you know, something
heart
along
disease
those lines.
Or something.
Yeah, right.
But you
know, if you
think about it, you know, when you have arthritis, you have a pain. So that backache you're talking about would be arthritis. So you just think about all the other aches and pains that people have.
Well, it could be arthritis.
It
could be.
Well, no, and doctor, you're right because like what people don't realize is there's over 100. Different types of arthritis. The most popular is osteoarthritis, but gout, you know, which is actually quite prevalent, you know, these days. Gout is, I think, the number two form of arthritis, and I don't think people even realize there's all these there's all these other types, and there's severely degenerative forms of arthritis. Like probably the worst, in my opinion, you know, would be rheumatoid arthritis, you know. So There's a lot of different types of arthritis, and I think the big thing for people to really understand is arthritis is really what I would call a generic term, and it's, you know, two Latin words that were, you know, we grasped arthro, which is joint, mm-hmm. and itis, meaning inflammation. So
yes.
Anytime you hear in the healthcare world a word that ends in itis, mm. it's usually meaning inflammation of that particular area. So in this case, mm. all we're talking about is joint inflammation.
And
I think, you know, I always like to boil it down to like the super simple, easy thing. And I apologize to people that are listening right now thinking, oh man, my arthritis is awfully complicated. And I'm trying to tell you that it's doesn't have to be that complicated.
Yeah, callers, you can join our discussion at 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. Let me just back up a couple of phrases from your last statement. I had no idea that gout was arthritis. None.
Yeah.
None. And you know, I thought gout was an infection.
No, and you know what? That's and by race, you know, blacks are more likely and Hispanics are more mm-hmm. likely to get gout. And you know, it's funny. I mean, I learned that 20-some years ago in pharmacy school,
wow.
and I still haven't come across a reason as to why. You know, I think people will often, like, stereotype, well, maybe it's something in that particular diet, you know. And this being, you know, an urban show, you know, I want to bring that to people's attention. And here's another thing, though. Gout, it's something that's very easily prevented. The problem is once you get it,
mm-hmm.
it's really it's hard to get rid of naturally. You know, I can give people wow. relief and, you know, things that help with inflammation and things that help with pain.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the natural approach really works more on gout specifically after you get it under control and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that always blows people's minds. Like, what? Gout? Really?
Yeah, no. Really. Yeah. I literally thought it was an infection. I mean, that's
maybe when
crazy.
Someone said something, they said inflammation and you thought infection at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, because you say, like, you know, I know my mother-in-law, I think she maybe had gout in her foot or something
yeah.
like that, or in her toes, and they were all inflamed, but I was thinking it was because there was an infection in there.
Oh, yeah.
I had no clue that was that. See, that's why we're doing this show. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. See, I told you, David, that you are such a wealth of information.
Well, you know, it's just like the good doctor sitting there. You know, we get our education on health and
yes.
the body, and, you know, for me, it's just about understanding the, you know, I got beaten up with biochemistry and physiology, and
yeah.
I can use that whether it's talking about medicines,
mm-hmm.
medical procedures, you know, or natural medicine. They all truly cross over each other.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely. So, okay, so there are several different types of arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis, you said there's gout,
mm-hmm.
and then there's
the big one, degenerative
arthritis. Degenerative arthritis, which is a degenerative circumstance of your muscle function?
No, of the bones.
Of the bones?
Yeah. Like, we used to call it wear and tear arthritis.
Yeah, exactly.
Wear and tear.
Perfect, right.
Wear and tear arthritis?
Yeah.
Well, how do you keep that from happening?
That's what the show is about.
Yeah. How do you keep that from happening?
She put the ball on the tee, didn't she? So you want to take the first swing at it?
Oh, no, I'll let you go.
No.
Sure?
This is you.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so, all right. So the wear and tear thing on osteoarthritis, I love analogies. It helps people really get a better grasp. So a lot of times what happens with osteoarthritis is that the minerals that are supposed to be in your bone leach out. They come out, and they circulate in your body, and one of their favorite places to settle are in the joints, and usually more so probably the big joints like knees and hips, and at least that's where we have more problem with that, the weight-bearing joints, but even your fingers. We mentioned the back earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is these mineral deposits are like super fine sand, like as powdered, super, super fine, almost like powdered sugar would be. So, and what happens is that acts like sandpaper. So just imagine, Marilyn, if you went to the local home goods store and you bought the finest sandpaper you could get, and to your finger touch, it would seem kind of smooth. But I can tell you that if you just kept rubbing that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth
mm-hmm.
on a small area somewhere on your skin, you're going to wear a hole. And that's what happens with this type of degenerative arthritis, osteoarthritis, is you get these small mineral deposits that act like sand or sandpaper. And the reason they affect people's knees and hips more is that all the weight of the body is above those joints. And so every time we stand up and we move around, that weight bearing, and that's why I've one of the best ways to prevent people from, you know, really wearing those the spongy connective tissue away that's in the joints that are supposed to be there and protective is to lose weight, you know. And we're talking about a country now where almost 40% of the people are obese. So one of the best things people can do to prevent any type of degenerative arthritis is to lose some weight. Make sure you have a healthy weight. I don't know. Doctor, what do you think of that?
No, I mean, there's no wonder they call it wear and tear. And Marilyn asked why.
Yeah.
Well, you can figure if you're 20, 30, 50, 80 pounds overweight, how much wear and tear that puts on the joints.
Okay, could we not say 20? I'm just saying. Could we just go like 40, 50? No, I'm only kidding.
And you could start from, we had our favorite podiatrist on.
Yes.
He talked about the foot had carried maybe 3 to 5 times the weight when you take a step.
Yeah.
So the more you weigh, it causes a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah. So,
and, the interesting thing is that, with that, I one of my favorite stories, and this is before I even got into the natural health thing, when I owned my pharmacy, I had a woman that, was one of my favorite customers. She was taking, medication as an anti-inflammatory for her knees.
Mm-hmm.
She was occasionally took narcotics, for the pain that just wasn't manageable. And again, this is before I got into what I do now with helping people naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And she was scheduled to go in and have both knees replaced because of, she was just so much in pain.
Yeah.
And this is the really cool thing. The doctor told her that she needed to lose some weight, that if she did, it would help her recovery from the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So this was back when diet pills were prescribed heavily. So the doctor put her on prescription diet pills. Now, I'm not encouraging that whatsoever, but the point of the story is that I forget her name now. She lost like 35 pounds, and I'm here to tell you that she never ended up needing to get the knee replacement surgery.
Wow.
That just by losing, and if people want to know how much that weight has on effect on your body, go to your local grocery store and pick up a medium-sized bag of dog food and carry that around with you for a little while. Carry it around on your back or carry it around on your stomach and see what that does to you. And that's what you're doing to your body right now if you're 25, 35, 50 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
It's just like carrying that big bag of dog food around, and you shouldn't have to do that.
Mm.
No, I talked to a woman today in my office who had arthritis of the hips. And she was 150 pounds overweight.
Oh, my.
Of the hips?
Yeah.
Wow.
She needed to lose a person. She sounds like she needed to lose a whole person.
I know.
Yeah, I can't imagine having arthritis in your hips. That means that she was in pain when she walks. Wow.
A lot of people don't realize, and by the way, just real quick, because I know, this is a full hour show and people sometimes can't listen to the whole thing. So, because this topic, I think, is so challenging for people, when we came up with the idea, I wrote an article, and it's for free. You can print it out. It's on my website. So if people want to know a little bit more about arthritis, some of the things that we've already just talked about, you can print it out. You can take it to your doctor. But my website's herbalpharmacist.com. I don't sell anything. I just give information. But I know how it is with radio because I've been doing it for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
People come and go.
Absolutely. Tune in, tune out. And speaking of which, we have some callers on the line that I want to have an opportunity to ask questions because it's important information. Renee, are you there?
Yes, hi. Am here.
Welcome to Urban Health Beat.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question. I have been diagnosed with arthritis of the hips and the spine. I am not overweight. I exercise regularly. And I am underneath 140 pounds. I'm 5'4".
Wow.
And I have a lot of pain. And I've asked my doctor, well, is there anything I can do to alleviate the pain other than take pain meds? So she wants to pump me with all this medication, and I don't want to take that medication. I have to some nights because it hurts worse when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
But
I have a couple of suggestions for you, and I hope you got something to write with.
Okay.
So I have like two or three things I'm gonna suggest. One is the ingredient's called Selodrin. It's spelled C as in Charlie, E L A, D as in David, R I as in idiot, N as in Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Selodrin. Selodrin comes in a capsule, and it also comes in a cream. One of the reasons I like Selodrin is it naturally helps your body fight inflammation. The reason people get pain in that joint is you get inflammation in there. There's really no room for that swelling, mm-hmm. so it pushes down on the nerve endings, and that's what triggers that sensation of pain. So if you can help do whatever we can to help the body fight inflammation, it'll help eventually lessen the pain. So Selodrin helps with that process, but it also helps rehydrate the cells in your body, and it really helps, especially with the connective tissue, that spongy stuff in between your joints and between your vertebrae that is supposed to keep you from having your joints wear and tear, like my good doctor friend said just a few minutes ago. So you can take it by mouth to help with that. And then topically, you said you have nights that are worse than others. This is one of my favorite ingredients to use topically. It comes in a cream. The last tube I got online from Costco, so it's pretty easy to find. I've picked it up at vitamin shops before. But Selodrin, topically, for people that have pain, especially in the evening, I'll have them apply it 20 to 30 minutes before they go to bed to the areas that are bothering you. In your case, you're either one or both of your hips. Apply it to that joint area and maybe some of the muscle tissue above and below the joint. And what it does is it'll help alleviate a little bit more of that intensity of your pain, so that you can fall asleep, you know, and maybe get a good 5 or 6 hours of sleep before the cream wears off. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, and this is for anybody, not just you, it was Renee, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, all right. So Renee, this is not just for you, but it's for anybody with that degenerative, like osteoarthritis type thing, is that we need to really get more greens into our daily diet. Greens are phenomenal for this type of situation. We need to get rid of the bad oils. So get rid of the cooking oils that you use, and also maybe get rid of some of the processed grains. If you're eating a lot of bread or pasta or those types of things, those bad oils and those starchy processed foods will cause your body to be more inflamed. And your body doesn't necessarily specify one area. It could be anywhere. And some people, they get that inflammation and it manifests in their heart, you know, the cardiovascular system. Some people, it's in their joints. So if you could increase your greens, if you don't like eating greens, you can buy a powdered greens at your local health food store. And I would, you know, if it says one scoop a day, I would do two.
Okay.
It really helps with the pH of your body, which will help hopefully rebalance the minerals and where they're going in your body. You want to get them back into the bone and out of your bloodstream so they're not settling in your joints.
And where do you get Selodrin? Sorry, Renee.
Uh-huh. Well, you said the vitamin shop. Yeah, so like I have, I have one on my desk. I'm in a hotel right now in mm-hmm. California. I've got mine, because I take it, because I started developing issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Doctor's Best brand that I bought it at a vitamin shop.
Mm-hmm.
The tube of Selodrin I travel with, I bought at Costco. Mm-hmm. So, I bought the tube off of their website. So mm-hmm. I actually just did that. But
right.
I'm not sure if all health food stores carry it, but I can tell you that they will be able to at least order it for you. It's pretty easy to find.
Okay.
It's just that, yeah. So,
And I see, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I see here in information actually that's on your website that clinical studies on Selodrin have been published on two occasions in the internationally acclaimed Journal of Rheumatology. So it seems like this has really been a tried and true method of reducing the pain of arthritis and potentially treating it.
What about her taking also some vitamin D?
Well, you know, that's actually, I'm glad you brought it up, and it was one of the points I wanted to bring up at some point during our hour together,
mm-hmm.
is that, yes, vitamin D supplementation does a lot for the topic of, especially this degenerative type of arthritis, but it does so many other things, and I'm actually encouraging people to find out what their vitamin D levels are instead of just going to your pharmacy or health food store and just pop in, you know, 2,000 or 5,000 units of D, I recommend either asking your doctor to get your vitamin D levels checked so that you can take the right dosage, or do what I did, because I'm sort of semi-anti-establishment. I'm just being transparent. I have one friend who's a doctor who I will go see her, but she's into the holistic, so that's why. But I actually enrolled in a program through a website, Power of D, Power of, and then D.org. And that's actually a health initiative going on, trying to really help us understand the full benefits of vitamin D. But vitamin D plays a huge role in chronic pain. And since Renee sounds like she's at the point of having chronic pain, yeah, vitamin D would go a long way, I think, at helping her as well. But making sure she's taking the right dose. You guys are in the D.C., Maryland, Baltimore area.
Yeah.
And so sunshine isn't that prevalent. And so oftentimes people that live that far north, I would recommend, getting it tested, and they're probably going to need 5,000 units a day, which is way above what we used to think was okay back when I was in pharmacy school, and we're learning now it is okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Renee, for that call. Well,
thank you so much. It is much appreciated, and I'm going to definitely find those things and use them. Thank you
Selling
so much.
Brand Vitamin D. Thank
awesome.
You. Thank you so much for your call. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Urban Health Beat with Marilyn Harris Davis on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm joined by Dr. David Foreman as we discuss remedies, herbal and otherwise, that address arthritis. We do have another caller on the line. I know you have a lot more to say, and hopefully you can say it in the context of our calls, but I want everyone to be able to have the benefit of your wonderful information. So, Quadria, thank you for your patience. You're on Urban Health Beat.
Good evening. Mm-hmm. I have 3 issues I want to talk about. First of all, we just talked about it, the osteoarthritis. I had total knee surgery about the end of March. And like my doctor said, I guess I have to realize I'm going to be in pain every day. Mm-hmm. I do the exercise. I lost about 30 pounds, and I'm still coming down. Nothing particular. I really stopped eating. I just have a sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. I stopped eating all that candy.
Oh, good.
Grains and stuff. And I thought I always ate kind of healthy. The problem is now, I'm in my 60s now, I have persistent alopecia, and I have this osteoarthritis. Mm-hmm. And is there any cure for alopecia, especially if it's been for a long time? And I do take lots of vitamin D, so I'll listen to your answer, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, too, and into this program. I'm always a fan of the show too, so I'm glad that you took time to call in and ask. Alopecia can be caused by, and by the way, for people that are listening that don't know what alopecia is, it's hair loss.
Yes. Major hair loss.
Mm-hmm. Major hair loss, mm-hmm. and it's not what men get, which is male pattern baldness, and mm-hmm. and what. This Marilyn, you know how it blew your mind a little while ago about mm-hmm. the gout? This mm-hmm. is going to probably blow your mind more. There are more women who suffer from baldness than there are men.
Really?
Yeah. Alopecia is more common in women than men. And in all honesty, there's just like I said with arthritis, there's many different types.
Yes.
Alopecia has a different reasonings for why. So it's really hard for me to have, to give her, a one size fits all answer on hair loss.
Yes. Right.
The fact that she had, the form of arthritis she has, and the fact that she has the hair loss, makes me think that she has a slight, and again, I can't diagnose. So this is me more thinking out loud about what she's describing. So I don't want anybody to take this like I'm diagnosing. That's not what I'm doing. But
sure.
it sounds like the beginnings of what would be considered like an autoimmune. And alopecia, one of the main causes of it is autoimmune, meaning the immune system is attacking what would be considered normal, healthy parts of the body. And there's lots of different types of autoimmune conditions. Rheumatoid arthritis is one. Lupus is another, and alopecia is one of the forms of an autoimmune. And so usually when people describe what she said, the way I start to address it is I usually start having them take a really good probiotic, those friendly bacteria
Yes.
Because my experience is that people, when they have that type of issue going on, mm-hmm. their digestive tract isn't healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to get into bowel habits, you know, on the radio. Mm-hmm. She probably doesn't want to share it. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you've suffered from either chronic constipation, irritable bowel disorder, irritable bowel syndrome, even diarrhea, if you've been on antibiotics, you know, say once every year to once every other year mm-hmm. for the last, you know, 10 years, those are all things that, to me, would contribute to, you know, why she might be getting hair loss, and a good probiotic would be a great start.
Start for
and again, it's such a complicated condition. It's really hard for me to go too far. We could spend a whole day.
I'm sure that she just wanted your perspective on that. But a good probiotic is good for a lot of things. And again, vitamin D doesn't help. Doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
As well as wearing your hair natural.
Oh, well, that's true. No chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No chemicals in your hair.
Yeah, of course I left out that one. What was I thinking?
Yeah, all right. No chemicals in your hair. Well, Dr. Jennings, I have to say, although I want to talk about him, he's not getting bald in the back yet, but I see it coming.
Mm. It's coming.
It's coming.
Wait. You can't throw Dr. Jennings under the bus. That's not nice.
If you work with Marilyn as long as I have, you lose something. It's either hair or my mind.
So, Dr. Jennings, I would never ask Marilyn this. But I will ask you, how old are you?
Please never ask
me. I'm north of 50 and south of 55.
Okay.
All right. So we're brothers from another mother then.
That's right.
Because I'm in that same range as you.
Yeah.
Almost exactly in the middle of it.
Okay. Yep. So. I plead the fifth. So.
You said David, you drink a fifth?
I plead the fifth. He is so ridiculous. So David Foreman, please hold on. We have to take a break. You're listening to Urban Health Beat, the show that feeds your mind, body, and spirit. I'm Marilyn Harris-Davis, but before we go to the break, we all know that laughter is the best medicine. So let me just ask you both, what falls down but never gets hurt? Snow. Snow. Okay. You're listening to Urban Health Beat, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Welcome back to Urban Health Beat. I'm Marilyn Harris-Davis, and I'm joined by Dr. Gary Jennings, and we are talking arthritis and the various treatments. We are joined as our guest by David Foreman, RPH. And actually, let me tell you a little bit about David Foreman, and we did not mention that in the beginning, and I really want you guys to know that he is an expert. David Foreman is an RPH. We'll get to what RPH stands for. I'm thinking it's something about pharmacy. What's RPH stand for, David Foreman?
Registered pharmacist.
Registered pharmacist.
Yeah.
He's a
PharmD, the doctor pharmacy thing wasn't available until the year after I graduated from South Carolina. So sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
You're retired.
I like hearing about
you
myself.
Like hearing about yourself. That's what you we have to remind you of how wonderful you are. You are a retired pharmacist, author, and radio host of the syndicated show The Herbal Pharmacist. He is well-versed on the healing powers of herbs, vitamins, and other natural supplements. David Foreman is a graduate of the University of South Carolina College of Pharmacy and is author of the book, Four Pillars of Health, Heart Disease, and you have...
It's easy for you to say,
It's easy for you to say. Four Pillars of Health. I thought we were going to go through Four Pillars of Health, but it stops at heart disease. He is the author of the number four, Pillars of Health, which is heart disease. He is on the Scientific Advisory Board for the Organic and Natural Health Association and is a frequent speaker at universities, medical groups, and hospitals on the subject of natural health and healing. His shift from traditional pharmacist to herbal pharmacist, which I find to be quite fascinating personally, was based on his belief that education is the key to understanding that natural health plays a vital role in mainstream medicine. And he has dedicated his entire career to educating consumers about the benefits and power behind natural herbs and supplements. Follow him on Twitter at HerbalPH. Herbal RPH or Facebook.com, The Herbal Pharmacist. I think the Facebook thing is going to be easiest.
Actually, you know what? Just have people go to my website. It's easier to click a link that, you know, and sure. and get there. But and they can even ask questions. Like
absolutely.
A lot of people may not get through tonight, or you know, absolutely. Maybe they don't want to have their voice heard on the radio.
Yeah.
They can email me. They can email me their questions too.
All righty. And how would they do that? What's your email address again?
Well, it's on my
website. Your website.
Contact us on my
website. Herbal Pharmacist.
Herbalpharmacist.com. Just plain
Herbal Pharmacist.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make that distinction.
And then mention they heard me on your program.
Absolutely.
And then they get priority treatment.
Absolutely. Callers, you can join our discussion at 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. We are talking with the Herbal Pharmacist. So before we went to the break, Dr. Foreman, I'm still going to call you Dr. Foreman.
Okay, no worries.
David Foreman. We do have a caller on the line who's been very patient, and I just wanted to make sure that he had an opportunity to
sure.
ask you a question. Kuya, thank you for your patience. You're on Urban Health Beat.
Once again, this is one of the best shows.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Foreman, and to the other guest, to the other doctor.
Yes, Dr. Jennings. Mm-hmm.
Jennings, I suppose you all know about or heard about Dr. James Duke.
I'm not familiar, and I'm actually I would like him to speak up a little louder.
Yeah, you've got to be a little louder, Kuya, and a little more clear, my darling.
I reckon mm-hmm. you guys heard of Dr. James.
No, I have not.
Well, he's one of the gurus and he's a superb herbalist.
I'm sorry, you're coming in and out, Kuya. The gurus of what?
He's a superb herbalist.
Of the what? I'm sorry.
He's a superb herbalist.
Oh, superb herbalist. I'm sorry. All righty.
And I think he has a book for 900 pages.
Okay.
And he's up in age, but I think he's still alive.
All right, but...
Do you have a question?
Is there a question?
Question. So, in regard to arthritis, what is the role of water?
What's the role of water? That's a good
question.
In arthritis. Arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in the treatment.
Dr. Jennings, I'm sure we're going to agree on this one. I think the role of water is important in all health.
Yes.
Whether it's arthritis or heart disease or diabetes, or because 70%+ of the body is made up of water. I personally prefer people drink purified water. I do not really condone drinking distilled water, but purified water would be, you know, where I would start with people. And, you know, I used to use this formula, half your body weight, you know, in ounces of water. So for a person that weighs, you know, 120 pounds, that would be 60 ounces. But I don't even like saying that anymore because I feel like we really just need to drink as much water without being obsessive about it as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And too often we drink bad things like sodas and
juice.
You know, and I'm not against having, you know, an adult beverage, but, you know, those dehydrate you, and so water plays a role in every aspect of health. And for people that don't drink enough of it, I can tell. I can look at them. I can see it in their skin and their energy levels are down. And I'll let Dr. Jennings chime in on this because I know I feel like he's got the same feeling going on there.
No, I agree. I mean, water, as you said, 70% of the body is water, and children is up to 80%. I mean, water is very important for the body, for all the chemical reactions that take place in your body actually take place in the fluid milieu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So water is definitely important.
That's interesting. Thank you so much, Kuya, for that perspective. I think we needed to mention water. And I think maybe where he was going with that also was the fact that it can serve as a lubricant to your bones, I'm thinking.
Well, again, even the juice that's in your joint that helps as a is made from water
Water. Yeah, as a base. Yeah. So the more water, the absolute better. Rochelle, thank you for your patience. You're on Urban Health Beat.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, thank you for having me. I had a question about, I'm standard herbs, but I'm having conflicting stories around vitamins.
Okay.
Because they're not battery regulated, and they can be, I don't know, you can have chopped up, I don't know, seaweed or, I'm just saying, dog poop in the capsules, and they can sell them as vitamins because they're not regulated. And I do understand that there was some type of study done in New York, and they removed certain vitamins from certain shells because of the quote-unquote fakeness of the vitamins because it's not regulated. It's really... really just out there for, no offense, the money. So do you want to get some perspective about vitamins and the true story behind it? Because my doctor told me just yesterday not to use the vitamins. It was really worthless. And just eat the right food.
I'm so glad.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Marilyn.
I was going to say, which vitamins are you speaking of? But no, you go ahead.
All vitamins, because there was a whole issue about whole vitamin D, and I'm a breast cancer survivor. And this whole thing about vitamin D and the deficiency was all a notion. It was a study around that, but really it wasn't around vitamin D, because you found that people still lived or did what they did without the vitamin D, so there were studies around that. So just vitamins, period. If you can eat the right food, you don't need vitamins.
I love you for calling in and saying all the stuff you just said, seriously, because that, no, I mean, I'm being sincere, because it's actually one of the, probably the most asked things. And so let me address the whole, the government does not regulate vitamins. That is the biggest myth and lie that you are told. The FDA is in full regulation of the dietary supplement industry, whether it's a multivitamin, an herb, whatever. So they are in full regulation of that. Are there some bad people putting out some bad products? Yes, there are. But let me remind you that right now we're dealing with an airbag recall from somebody that had bad airbags and knew it. We're dealing with a thing with an automotive company that lied about their emissions. We've had pharmaceutical companies hide data on their arthritis medicines, of all things, that ended up, you know, costing probably the biggest monetary, you know, thing out there. So there are bad players in every industry. My dad used to say a C lawyer is still a lawyer. And my grandfather taught me that there are shysters. My grandfather was a Pennsylvania German guy, you know, and he was like, David, there are shysters in every business.
Right.
But for people, for your doctor, in my opinion, is closed-minded and naive. And then I'll address the thing that happened in New York real quick, and then I'll let you know, comment back if you don't mind. But so the thing in New York was the state's attorney general in New York, they did testing on four different companies' supplements. They didn't do all of them. They did a random thing. I think if I remember correctly, they picked five different herbal supplements, like a single herb. And the test came back, the results they got back were horrible, and which is what she just said. So what she was speaking is true. What the New York State's Attorney General and the results they got back said, there really was nothing in those bottles.
What we learned though
was that the testing method they used was the improper testing method for those supplements. Just like anything in medicine, there's a certain test that they should do to find out what your white blood cells are. There's a certain test they should do, and there's standards that go with that that have to be followed. It's a certain process. And so in this case, they did DNA testing on these herbs. Well, the herbs they tested were what they call standardized extracts, which means that they went through an extra step to concentrate them or make them more, you know, make them more potent. Or I'd say concentrated is the best thing, but the process of making those standardized extracts actually breaks the DNA down.
Okay, so, you're going to have to break this down a little bit more, David Foreman, okay, and bottom line it for us.
Bottom line it. So here's the deal. They ran the wrong test on those herbs. They looked for DNA. There was no possibility for DNA to be in there because the way the herbs were manufactured. So, and going back to what I said at the beginning, the industry is heavily regulated by the FDA.
Right, and that was really her point, is that there's no, you know, a lot of people say, and that's a myth, that the FDA does not regulate vitamins. Yeah. Like, for instance, there's a daily recommendation for vitamin D, right?
Right.
right?
But that's for the FDA. But I think the big difference is that when a drug is put out, they have to prove it's working or what's in it before it's on the market. And with the vitamins and supplements, it's after it's on. It can be on the market, but it's the company's responsibility to ensure that it does. So it's an after the fact. Is that right, as opposed to before?
They just changed that, actually, about a year, year and a half ago. If there's a new dietary ingredient, they call it NDI, a new dietary ingredient, they now have to, before they're allowed to sell it on the market. Now, the granted, regretfully, all the stuff that was already here was kind of grandfathered in. But anything new now has to, they have to show the FDA that it actually is safe and effective, maybe not to the level of a drug clinical trial like Dr. Jennings was talking about, but they do now have that requirement.
They have to show, they have to do some sort of testing on it and show that it's...
And again, there are people that don't do it, and they get caught, and they get in trouble, and they get put in jail, or they pay huge fines.
Right.
And that's with every industry. So I'm sorry I kind of got long-winded on that one.
No, it's okay. No, no. Look, I understand. Trust me. You all in the medical profession just kind of go, and there's a trigger that I'm finding.
I appreciate you reeling me in. That was good of you.
There's a trigger. And I really want to get through our callers, but I know you have a lot more to say, so that's one of the reasons why we did that. But, Diane, welcome to Urban Health Beat. You've been very patient.
Yes, my question is, can you tell me something natural to use for eczema? I just have a little bit on the back of my hand.
Okay.
Okay. Before I tell you what to take, I would encourage you to get some blood work done to find out if you have allergies and sensitivities to something in your diet. The number one reason people get eczema and or psoriasis is they have usually they're like allergic or hypersensitive to something in their diet. So your healthcare provider can help you with that. Now,
well, can wheat give it to you?
Can what?
Wheat.
Wheat.
Yeah, wheat. Gluten. Gluten is one. Gluten is one of the biggest triggers for people that have eczema and or psoriasis. They're not the same condition, but I kind of lump them together in this case because it seems like so gluten, which is not just wheat. Gluten's in wheat, barley, and rye. So you have to read your labels.
Okay.
And then supplement wise, I love something called evening primrose oil. Oil, and usually taking about 4 to 6 grams a day of that. So it's 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams a day. One thing you'll notice, not only hopefully that will clear up a little bit, but it's also going to make your hair and your nails look awesome.
So and your skin. You're saying to eat topically?
No, no. You would want to take this by mouth. You want to take it by mouth.
Is it a capsule?
They're like gel caps. Yeah, it's like... Gel caps like a fish oil would be, but this is not fish oil. It's evening primrose oil. Yep.
Okay.
So that would be better than krill oil or fish oil tablets.
For eczema, yeah, I think it. I think it would be much better, in my opinion.
You said how many tablets a day? About.
It depends on what strength you buy, but the total amount should be
4,000
milligrams a day.
Okay. Thank you.
You are so welcome, Diane. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just ask you quickly before we get to the rest of our callers. When you take these capsules, like for instance, she was saying, you know, about the evening primrose oil, and she also talked about fish oil. Fish oil does a different thing from the evening primrose oil. So could she be taking the fish oil as well as the evening primrose oil, and let's say as well as a vitamin E? And let's say as well as, a gel garlic capsule. Could all of those things be taken together?
Yes, they can. And normally when people take the oils, like you're talking about, I try to get them to take them together.
Okay.
You know, so if you are taking, you know, so in her case, I would still keep taking my krill oil and or fish oil. Like me, Marilyn, I actually take krill oil, and I take fish oil every day.
What is krill oil?
Krill oil comes from krill, which are those super microscopic, almost microscopic critters that grow like in the southern hemisphere under the polar or whatever the Antarctic ice cap.
How do you spell that?
K-R-I-L-L.
Okay.
K-R-I-L-L.
Okay.
I recently became a fan of it. I was a skeptic up until probably April. And I ran into a manufacturer of it at a conference in Orlando, and I told them that, and they gave me two bottles to take home to try.
Okay.
And within 2 weeks, I felt a difference in my skin. Amazing.
Oh, I see. Now, let me, one other question about taking these things in concert with each other. In terms of the gel capsule, and I have heard this, and maybe this is a myth, in terms of the capsule that it's in, all of that, it seems to me that, and what I've heard, is that the gelatin capsule itself is difficult for you to digest and could cause constipation?
I don't know, but I've never heard the constipation part, but gelatin can be difficult for people to digest,
mm-hmm.
and that's why some people don't even want to, you know, gelatin comes from an animal, so, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are against that, so now people are buying what they call the vegetarian capsules instead,
mm-hmm.
And those are made from plant cellulose and water.
I
haven't heard the constipation thing before, but...
It takes longer to break down because it is from an animal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe that's it.
That
yeah,
might
exactly.
be what it is. That might be what it is. Okay, well, good. I'm glad I got that out of the way. We have Charles on the line. Charles, welcome to Urban Health Beat, and thank you for your patience. Charles?
Yes, hello?
Hello. You had a question, and welcome.
Yes, I had a question about
mm-hmm.
water.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just found out about alkaline water, and most of our water is acidic. So I was wondering, how do you test water, and what do you actually test the water for?
Okay.
Strips, which you can buy it pretty much anywhere to test for the alkalinity or, you know, acidity of your water.
Okay.
And there's usually a way to measure that on the side of the bottle. I believe that alkaline water is a big waste of your time. Because it's a more basic consistency, and that'll actually neutralize the pH of your stomach, which is not what you want to do.
Doesn't it have more electrolytes? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, electrolytes actually would be a great way to change the pH of your body in a positive way.
Okay,
So you're right. So adding trace minerals to your water,
mm-hmm.
taking minerals, eating foods that are high in minerals like greens.
But they're saying that acidic water causes cancer, though, right? And that's the tap water we drink.
Acidic water.
I don't agree with that. I mean, granted, tap water is big, is gross. So I don't think anybody should necessarily drink it. You know, no matter what anybody says, there's so many chemicals in it.
Yeah.
It needs to be purified. But the saying that acidic water is causing cancer, I don't agree with that. There's so many things that are acidic in your diet, and they're not causing cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's things that cause acid in your body that would maybe cause an increase in cancer. Acidic water is not going to. A lemon is one of the best things you can consume to help with regulating your pH, yet it's a very acidic food.
One of the things I think that the pH of the stomach is 2. The acid in your stomach is hydrochloric acid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like battery acid. So,
exactly.
What about the solids in water also? Because that's also a contention, also, the rocks and, you know, the other solids that you can't see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that there's a lot of stuff in your water, and that's why, I usually try to get people to do, like, reverse osmosis filtration. I mean, you can buy those things relatively inexpensive now. At even the big box stores have them.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to what Dr. Jennings was saying about the pH of your stomach, I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's very. He said it's about 2, which is very acid. And so anytime we throw something in there that's basic, so you're talking about alkaline water, basic, it neutralizes that stomach acid. And God created you to have stomach acid to protect you from disease and digest your food. So alkaline water will ruin that.
Will ruin that. Okay, that's our bottom line. Alkaline water is not as good as water with lemon, purified water with lemon.
It doesn't really matter one way or another. You're not doing that much difference.
Purified water with lemon. Thank you so much for that call, and thank you so much for that question. Megan, we have you on the line. Welcome to Urban Health Beat, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you. I am 38 years old, and I was just diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
I really don't want to start taking a prescription drug at this age for it. Is there something else that I can do in order to stop the progression of the rheumatoid arthritis?
I'm glad you asked that question. Let's get back to the arthritis, because there are a couple of things. Boswellia, I see here, cat's claw.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I apologize. I was just told that my phone apparently is breaking up, and I apologize. You guys sound awesome, and yet apparently I'm not as awesome as you guys. I don't know what I can do.
That's fine. No, you're fine now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm trying to stay real still.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry about the diagnosis of rheumatoid, and actually Marilyn just mentioned one thing. Is one of my favorite herbs for this condition is an herb that is popular in Indian medicine, meaning like India, the country. Mm-hmm. It's Boswellia, B as in boy, O-S-W-E-L-L-I-A,
right.
Boswellia. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to find in your health. You'll probably have to go to a health food store. I don't think many pharmacies will carry that. But Boswellia has multiple benefits. But for people, especially for people with rheumatoid, which is an autoimmune condition, again, meaning the immune system's kind of your body's attacking itself. In this case, it's attacking your healthy connective tissue. Boswellia has an effect of blocking part of your immune system that may be attacking your joints. So,
right.
And on top of that, it's also has that effect on helping your body and having a healthy response to inflammation. So.
Right.
Boswellia, and then another one that I really like, most people haven't heard of, is cat's claw, like a cat meow, mm-hmm. you know, claw,
yeah,
like
cat's
it's
claw.
Clawing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cat's claw, similar thing to Boswellia, and, you know, if I'm you, my dear, I would be using both of those,
mm-hmm.
Just because, and then I would get your D levels checked. This is a strong link to vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah,
and rheumatoid.
Well.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. And then one more thing is to take a good probiotic.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indirect thing, but you want a healthy digestive tract. And if you do end up going on the medications, you want to make sure you listen to your doctor and follow your dosing correctly. And a lot of the medications they prescribe do have some pretty evil side effects, but they do help people get relief too, I gotta say.
But you can also take your medication as well as Boswellia and cat's claw.
As far as, well, I can't say that for sure, Marilyn, so
okay.
I'm not gonna agree to that necessarily. It would be one of the, it depends on what they'd end up prescribing, but
mm-hmm.
generally speaking, yes, that would be true. And Celadrin, don't forget, that stuff works great too.
Celadrin, Celadrin. Now, from what I see here in terms of Boswellia, it comes as a tablet and also as a topical cream, right?
Right. It does. But in the case of in her situation,
mm-hmm.
I really think the oral form would be the best way. Yeah, tablet. Or, I think even you can find it in capsules. So some people don't like tablets.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably find a capsule too.
Okay.
Right. But I hope that helps you out, my dear.
I do. Thank you so much for asking that question. We have two more callers, and we're going to try to get to them in our last 5 minutes. Kenneth, thank you for holding on, and thank you for your patience. You're listening to Urban Health Beat.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
To the whole panel, and thanks for bringing these shows on the air.
Absolutely.
A lot of people could learn and ask questions.
Indeed.
That's good.
Indeed.
Now, since I'm in my 70s, and I've always heard people talk about how good water is and how much water you should drink and how much percentage of your body is water, and so much things. You know, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I've never heard anybody make an argument on the other side saying that what benefit, if there is any, or what harm could become of someone if they have too much fluid in their body? Everybody's organ don't perform the same. I don't think everybody lose water, dispose of water the same way. Some people more than others. Some people drink more than others.
Your
waist, all that.
Kenneth, love, do you have a question, sweetheart?
Yes, I just did.
Oh, okay. How much water do we need?
No, if you have too much water.
Can there be too much water?
Well, I believe that there can be. I'm just trying to figure out what could happen if someone has too much liquid in your body.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Dr. Jennings, I'm going to let you answer that for right now, and then I can chime in on top of you.
Yeah, there is a disease. It's called diabetes insipidus, and your body doesn't handle the water, and the person is thirsty all the time. You can dilute your electrolytes, and by diluting them, that can cause a lot of cardiac arrhythmias and things like that, swelling of the brain and all those other things. So, yeah,
so
it can't be too much of a good thing.
It's too much of a good thing.
Yep.
Gotta tell you, sorry, we have one more caller on the line, Marie. I cannot take you, but if you call after the show, we will certainly try to hook you up with David Foreman. David Foreman, thank you so much for joining us. We have to have you back very, very soon. We have not even gotten to everything about arthritis. But once again, tell our listeners how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, just they can go to my website, herbalpharmacist.com, and the caller who's holding, they're welcome to email me. I'll be glad to answer their questions. Maybe we can even have a chat.
Absolutely.
At some point, okay?
Herbal
and thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Jennings.
Thank you. Can't wait
to
meet you.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, you too. And again, as you all know, laughter is the best medicine. So I'm going to ask you, Dr. Jennings, why did the farmer bury all his money?
I don't know.
To make his soil rich.
Okay.
You've been listening to Urban Health Beat. This is Marilyn Harris Davis and Dr. Gary Jennings reminding you until next time that your good health is a work in progress.
So work it.